May we be held to commence our worship this evening by singing together hymn 645, to the tune of Festus 464. Dangerous is the way, is the path we go in this wilderness below. Savage beasts of every kind aiming to distress the mind. Scarce an hour, but pilgrims see they from danger are not free. In some unexpected way, something fills them with dismay. Christ, the Master, Lord of all, bids his children watch and call. May it be our blessed case both to watch and seek his face. Hymn 645, tune Festus 464.
Thank you. Let us read from God's holy word from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 13. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 13. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein, to take anything out of his house. Let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, for in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. May the Lord bless to us his holy word and teach us how to pray. Most gracious and most holy and eternal Lord God, how we do need thee now, dear Lord, to rend the heavens and to come down, and that we may be favoured to feel and to know thy sweet and sacred presence. And that we may prove what the dear poet said, in thy presence I am happy, in thy presence I am secure. Oh, we pray as we gather this evening, thou wilt grant to us a truly soft heart, Lord. Thou wilt take away our stony heart and any hardness or rebelliousness there may be in us, and that we may be under the divine influence of thy blessed Holy Spirit, and that we may sweetly prove what thou hast said in thy word, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do draw our hearts and our thoughts, Lord, away from the things of time and of this world, and that our hearts and our affections may be set on things above, where Christ sitteth. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt speak to our souls. For thou hast said, my sheep, hear my voice. Oh, that we may hear the voice as the spouse did of a precious Jesus. And that we may sweetly prove it is no vain thing to serve the living God. Oh, do blot out, dear Lord, all our many, many sins. We pray for a heart to truly confess them before thee, to weep and mourn over them, to beg for that real heart repentance be granted to us, and that we may be able to know the realities of what Job said. For God maketh my heart soft. And Lord, we pray for that truly broken heart and contrite spirit, and that real heart repentance that needeth not to be repented of. And to say with dear Job, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. O Lord, do wash us in thy precious blood. Oh, that we may know its sweet cleansing power. That precious word of thine, but the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And oh, may we know, Lord, that sweet peace of Calvary in our souls. This glorious man, thy peace shall be. And oh, Lord, may it please thee to strengthen our little faith. Take away, dear Lord, all the unbelief there is in us. Remove all the doubts and fears. And we pray to have a grain of that faith that is given to godly Abraham, who believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Oh, may we have that like faith, dear Lord. May we be real in the vital things of God. May we be taught of Thee. We would pray with the psalmist, that I know not, teach Thou me. May we be found in the school of Christ, learning wisdom's lessons well, who guide us in all the steps of providence and of grace. Keep us, Lord, from ourselves and from this wicked and perverse world. Keep us in our thoughts, Lord, in our hearts, in our steps, in our pathways. And may we be kept, Lord, looking unto Thee, and kept from all danger and harm. And be, as dear Peter said, those who are kept by the power of God. And dear Lord, how we need that keeping power. We pray that Thou wilt go before us in the untrodden steps of life's journey. Oh, do fit and prepare us for Thy will, dear Lord. And may we ever be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that our eyes might look right on and our eyelids straight before Thee. And may a precious Jesus be made very precious to us, the one thing that's needful. Who bless that which we have read together from Thy holy word. Oh Lord, do help us each to take heed of the warnings. But oh, may we know those divine blessings in our souls. For Thou hast promised, I will bless Thee. And Lord, may we each know that divine blessing in our souls. Now do remember Thy dear people. We pray for those, Lord, that are in affliction's pathway. Lord, do sanctify these afflictions, and if it's Thy holy will, send that needed healing and restoring, Lord. Those that are bereaved, who make up the breach, Lord, and grant that heavenly comfort to them in their great losses, Lord, as Thou art fast removing Thy children home. And may we each be fitted and prepared for that great day, and be right in Thy sight. And Lord, may it please Thee to lift up any that are cast down and in the depths. And as Thou didst bring up Jonah from the depths of the fish's belly, from the belly of hell, cried I, oh, do bring Thy dear people up out of the depths of sorrow and of sin and of troubles and afflictions, Lord, and the many buffetings of Satan, the many things that cast them down. And may it please Thee to remember our dear aged friends, who bless our dear friend here in her weakness and old age, Lord. We pray that she may be strengthened and restored in measure if it's Thy holy will. And do be with her in the unknown steps of life's journey. And may she be kept looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of her faith. And may we each, Lord, And we pray that thou wilt remember all thy dear aged people and those that feel so much the need of thy appearing. Think of our dear friend in the hospital in Eastbourne. Do come and visit her, Lord, and say unto her, I am thy salvation. Lord, may she feel thy blessed arms under her, holding her up and holding her on. Lord, do remember those in middle age in the troubles and trials of the journey. Do undertake for each one, Lord. And may they yet see the wonders God alone can do. And I do remember, Lord, the dear children, the dear young people. Preserve and keep them each, Lord. May thy tender filial fear be put in the hearts of each one of them, if it would please thee. Our own dear grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And may there be those, Lord, raised up to be pillars in Zion in their day and generation. And may they be kept from this world. And may there be put in their hearts, dear Lord, some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel. Hear the prayers of dear parents and grandparents and those that pray for them. And we pray thou wilt send down answers of peace. Do bless this corner of thy vineyard and Zion too, Lord. May there be the outpouring of thy Spirit manifested. Many be born again, Lord. Do quicken souls in this town and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. May it be so, Lord, throughout this nation and throughout the earth, that many may flee to thee for refuge and for safety. Lord, do bring back prodigals. May there be yet many brought to return. For thou hast said, the ransom of the Lord shall return and shall come to Zion. And they shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. Do add to the church precious souls yet, Lord, we pray there may be those that thou wilt whisper those precious words to. Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Lord, may it be so here and in our own flock at home and throughout Zion. There may be those days of sweet rejoicing, for we do rejoice when Zion's offspring come. And oh, do help our friend at the desk and bless the hymns he gives out, and do be with his fellow deacon and thy servant, Lord, and bless him and his labours throughout Zion. And may each of thy servants be graciously anointed by thy Spirit. And may there yet be better days in the churches, a revival of real vital things. And in mercy, Lord, in the midst of deserved wrath, remember this nation. And work in our King and in the royal household and in our Prime Minister and all in high places, Lord. Turn their feet from the ways of this world and of sin to turn to Thee for refuge and for safety. And may there be those wrought upon in this land, Lord, by thy Holy Spirit, to leave the world's deceitful shore and leave it to return no more. And oh, we pray for thee to appear for those in Ukraine, Lord, and deliver them from the powers of evil against them, and in other parts of the earth too, where wars and troubles prevail. And we pray for a heart to praise thee for all thy many, many mercies. We would give thee all the glory for all thy favours toward us, unworthy as we are. Do anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name this evening. May we be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. May there be a true spirit of hearing. We ask thee to forgive anything we've uttered amiss and all our many, many sins. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus, for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Let us continue by singing together hymn 630. Hymn 630 to the tune St. Godrick 556. What foolish worms are we, how prone to start aside, and in our troubles flee from Jehu's wounded side, to wait on self or something base instead of trust in sovereign grace. Oh, that our souls could wait at all times on the Lord, and watch at wisdom's gate, whose mercy will afford a constant flow of every good to souls that trust alone in God. Hymn 630, tune St. Godrick 556.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 13 and the 11th verse. Mark's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 11. When they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 13 and verse 11. It's really the latter part that has been resting on me all day. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. This is a very solemn and yet sacred chapter. It speaks so much, the Holy Spirit does, of the coming of the dear Lord Jesus, the last times, and what would take place in the earth. And here the dear Saviour speaks to his dear disciples of what pathway they'd got to tread. And he says here, take heed to yourselves. That's a good occupation, really. You know? Many are looking at this one and that one, what they're doing or what they may be saying, when we first should look to ourselves. Take heed to yourselves. The Apostle Paul said, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. And here he brings them to self-examination. Take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. He didn't promise these dear disciples, did he, an easy pathway. We are told in the Acts of the Apostles it is through, not round or not over or going under, through much tribulation, you must enter the kingdom. This was the pathway they got to walk. It was all appointed by the Lord. And then he says in our text, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up. There's no doubt, as he spoke these words to them, they were considering what they'd got to do. But here he makes it clear to them, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. And then this clear instruction, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour. It's a wonderful word, that is, isn't it? You see, the Lord knew exactly what they got to walk through, and he made it clear to them it was not going to be easy. But they hadn't got to premeditate what they were going to speak before these rulers and kings. They got to be dependent And what a lesson that is to us each upon the Lord, what we shall speak. And he says here that in whatsoever ye shall speak, that in that hour it shall be given you. And the Lord will never fail in that hour with every child of God, not just in speaking, as I want to look at it as help, but we want to look at this speaking in a few ways. First of all, what about prayer? You know, it's easy for a person, especially when they're on a call, it be called on in public to pray, to plan out a prayer before they go to the prayer meeting, what they're going to ask for. But here, he said, whatsoever is given you in that hour. He didn't say what they'd thought about beforehand. It reminds me, many years ago, Ebenezer Luton, there was a man that used to attend there, and he was going to go up to the prayer meeting on that particular week evening, and he hadn't been called on, because in those days there were a lot of members in the church. He hadn't been called on for a few weeks, and he thought, well, old Mr. Kemp will call on me tonight. I expect so I must get a prayer ready. And all during the day he was working out how he was going to pray. And even on his way to the chapel. And he was so taken up with what he was going to pray, he didn't realise that the roadman had dug the road up. And as he was thinking about what he was going to pray, he wasn't looking where he was going and fell in a hole in the road. And he said when he got up, he said, you know, I had to leave all my prayer that I'd prayed in that hole. And when he got to the prayer meeting, and the first person to be called on was this dear man, he said, and I got up as an empty vessel. He said, all I could do was pour out my heart in that hour. And you know, there were many in that congregation had never heard him pray like it. You see, the Lord knew how to empty him. What does the hymn writer say? He empties whom he fills. And how many times have you come into need, maybe in providence, or in your soul, or in the family, or regarding the church of God, and you had to fall before the Lord in that hour of need, and pour out your heart before him? You see, he says here, doesn't he? That speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, and this is the prayer we need, isn't it? But the Holy Ghost. You see, it's he that indicts that real prayer, and he will give it in that hour. You think of the dear woman when she came with her daughter to the Saviour. And what did she pray? And it was given in that hour. Lord, help me. And that came right out of her heart, you know. Oh, it did. It's like when, and you probably heard it before, but when William Gadsby was asked to take a prayer meeting in the old Gower Street Chapel. And he called on a dear man to pray. And he didn't get up and pray, and Mr. Gadsby left it a few minutes, and then he asked him again. And the dear man eventually staggered to his feet. And he said this, "Lord, thou knowest I would pray if I could," and sat down. Mr. Gadsby got up. He says, "Dear friends, that's one of the best prayers I've ever heard. It came right out of his heart." And they're the prayers we need, whether it's in secret or whether it's in public. "That speak ye, for it's not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." And oh, how we need it in this dark and solemn day, don't we? The old preachers used to say, "Lord, give us a Holy Ghost religion." And that is the religion that get you to heaven, poor soul. And if we've got the Holy Ghost influencing our poor prayers, they're the prayers that pierce the chapel roof or your home roof and enter into the ears of the Lord God of Israel. I remember reading on one occasion of one of the old pastors, and he said to his congregation, and I don't know how they must have felt, members and of the church and the congregation, "There hasn't been any prayer that has pierced the chapel roof for 6 weeks." That's how he felt. And you think how they must have felt. Well, the Lord was the witness. So, the first thing, "That speak ye," what the Holy Ghost indicts the heart to pray. Because that the Lord will answer. He'll not only hear the petition, but he will answer it in his time and in his way. Then, the second thing we would name is this. We know not, in this solemn day in which we live, whether we will have to be brought before rulers and kings. You think of many of our godly forefathers, those that were burned at the stake, the prayers that went out of their heart, and it was given in that hour. Oh, it was. You see, they were searching solemn days, but you know they were men of grace and heavenly wisdom and stood firm for the truth. And in that hour, the Lord was to be with them and bless them. And gave them wonderful answers to prayer on many occasions prior to them being taken from the earth. But then, when we're called to speak, like those that may be exercising, I draw a bow at a venture to name it this evening, those that are called to speak of the Lord's blessing to their souls. It's wonderful, you know, over the years we've listened to many testimonies now, and I bless God for it. But, you know, it's wonderful when the Lord gives a poor sinner that to speak before his dear people. And there's a clear word of instruction here, isn't there, regarding even that speaking. In that hour, it shall be given you. I remember a dear old lady when I was up in, living in Cambridgeshire, but through Cambridgeshire and Bedfordshire, there was this dear old lady. The Lord so blessed her. And at the same time, he blessed another lady that was a school teacher. Now this poor lady thought, "However shall I give my testimony with this school teacher giving hers? Because she's so able to speak." But you know, the school teacher was asked first to speak because she came forward first, and she could hardly say anything. And then they called upon this dear old lady, a poor illiterate character, and she just poured it all out, what the Lord had done for her. And there wasn't a dry eye in the church. You see, the Lord gave it to that dear soul in all her exercise, and so troubled how the school teacher would be able to speak of such great things, which she couldn't. And she said, I had to learn this lesson. It was in that hour it was be given to me. And the Lord enabled her to speak, you know. The wonders God alone can do. And may that be a sweet encouragement to those of you that may be exercised. However shall I speak to the Lord's dear people? You know, it's easy sometimes to speak one to another, but when you stand before or sit before a number of people, and I often say, you know, when we have one come forward over the years, and I've chaired church meetings, many chapels, and I always say to the dear candidates this: you're not here before judges, we're all poor sinners. And you know, that's been of sweet encouragement to many. You're not before judges, poor sinners that long to hear, and that will bind a union one with the other as they speak of what the Lord has done in answering prayers, delivering them from the trials and troubles of the journey, blotting out their sins. And they'll find an echo in the hearts of God's dear children. Oh, it will. Because you can say an amen to it, well, I know a little how they feel in this matter. I know a little how they felt in the trials they've been in, because you've been there the same. It may have been a different trial, but the blessing descends from it all. But then, this word can be applied to that speak ye to every God sent servant. You know, so often, and I've spoken to Mr. Ransbottom, and I have discussed it over many years. You know, so often it's a word that may be spoken during the discourse that suddenly comes, the Holy Spirit brings it to the servant of God, and it may not be even relevant to his text, but he speaks it because the Holy Ghost has given it to him in that hour. And you know, so often that has been made a real blessing to many of God's dear children, and that's a wonderful thing, you know. It proves this: we're not our own. It's a venturing. You know, every God sent servant will have to venture upon the Lord, and it's a matter of this: sink or swim. If the Lord fails us, we're finished. But he doesn't fail his dear people. And there may be those things you're walking in tonight, and you may say, well, will he fail me? Well, poor soul, lean hard upon him, rest upon him. When thy eye of faith is dim, rest thou on Jesus, sink or swim. He alone can grant the blessing, and it be given in that hour. That speak ye. And you see, this will make the servant of God faithful, because he has to divide the precious from the vile, the living from the dead. and it's under the divine influence of the Holy Spirit, not in and of himself. It's not just a matter of words. It's that which is given in that hour, and so often the Lord has made it life and power to his dear people. I remember on one occasion the Lord at Worthing many years ago now directed me away from the text to quote a line of a hymn. And dear old Mr. Carlton, that used to be deacon at Worthing in those days, he said to me, you know, you had to quote that very verse of the hymn. He said, because that's what I'd prayed for as soon as you announced the text that you'd bring it here to us. And even before I came to chapel, I had to pray it, because it's been life and power to me all the week. You see, the Lord can make those sacred hymns, when the servant of God quotes them, or when we sing them, in that hour of need, life and power to you. Not that we want to speak of one thing personally, but you know, Lord's Day, I gave out to the Lord's Supper at home that beautiful hymn 771, "To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside." And you know, as I read it, the Lord so came and it just melted me, and I couldn't sing the hymn, I was so full. And not only that, the Lord dropped these words in with such sweetness and such power, and how we need the application of it. It's in that beautiful hymn 720. And for me, just to think of it tonight, it really softens one's heart, because as we sung that beautiful hymn, "To know my Jesus crucified," and you can go through it at your leisure, the Lord breathed this word into my heart. His dear heart was broken too when he bore the curse for you. And it was so sweet to me and powerful to my poor soul, it just melted. I had a job to administer the ordinance because of it. May we have such times, those hours, poor soul, you'll never forget. Oh no. And you can speak of them because they're so sweet to you and life and power to you. So he says here, "When they shall lead you up, deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour." Now, none of us know what hours we may yet have to walk through. "That speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." But then, there are many things we need in hours of need, aren't there? And I want to particularly just briefly look at a few of these things. How we need in places the Lord brings us into, and it's in that hour we need the Lord to give us wisdom. The hymn writer said, "Give wisdom to direct our way and strength to do thy will." If you go into Psalm 107, how does it finish? After all the ups and downs the children of Israel had to go through in that wilderness journey, and how they had to cry unto the Lord in that hour of need, like Peter did when he was sinking in that, as he walks on the water, Lord save us, and else we perish. And in that hour, the Lord put forth his hand, didn't he, and caught him. In that hour. Do you not need wisdom given in that hour? It may be something you're walking through, and providence, or it may be in your soul and in the pathway. Lord, give me wisdom in that hour. And the Lord wonderfully comes and directs you in what you got to do and how you got to walk in that hour. And that's it's wonderful, you know, that hour. That so rested upon me today, in that hour. But then, in times of affliction, when we're made ever so weak because of affliction, and or it may be some trial you're having to walk through, or some difficulty, and he can give you in that hour that strength to venture through it. In that hour. He didn't say he would give strength tomorrow, today's strength tomorrow, did he? He said, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And he'll give you that sufficient strength. Not more, not less, to endure the trial. Think of dear Job in all what he had to walk through, and how the Lord gave him that strength in every hour of need. Oh, he did. And we need it in two ways, don't we? Firstly, we need it in body. Strength equal to that hour. Times of great concern, great weight and burden and trial, in that hour, he gives you that strength to bear it and to hold you up and hold you on. But then in your soul too, when Satan comes in like a flood and tempts you and tries you, what will he do? He'll give you grace for that hour. The hymn writer said, grant us such supplies of grace that we might persevere. And he'll be given poor soul in that hour. But then, do we not need the Lord to help us in each hour? Like the dear woman I quoted earlier, Lord help me. And when is it you need it? When most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near, with heaven and earth at his command. He waits to answer prayer. He'll be given in that hour that help you need. Oh yes. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. For the Lord, you see, knows what we need before we even ask or think. He'll be given in that hour. And then as we sung in the hymns, and it closes in this chapter, there are those hours we have to watch. He said to them, didn't he? What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And there are those hours we need to watch against Satan and all his craft and power. And the Lord enables us to watch being on our watchtowers. Because it says here, and Jesus used so many beautiful illustrations in his ministry. And he says there, doesn't he? For the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. When there's so many dangers, like we sung in our opening hymn, in the journey, we need to be watching every hour. But then, oh, to watch for the Lord to send answers to our prayers. You know, with dear Hannah, she not only prayed for the Lord to give her a Samuel and to deliver her from her adversary and to bless her in her soul. She not only prayed for it, the Lord's appearing, but she watched. And she watched for the answer. Oh, she did. And you look at Hezekiah, how he watched. And he saw the wonders God alone could do in deliverance from the Assyrians. And in his own soul, removing all the sin that troubled him. And he was able to praise the blessed Redeemer, wasn't he? The Lord, for his appearing. And that brings me to this. In that hour, he will give us a heart when he answers our prayers, gives us the sweet answer like he did with Hannah, like he did with Hezekiah, the sweet answers of praise to him. And he'll be given in that hour. We, your very soul will go out in praise to the Lord as he answers your prayers, appears for you, commands deliverance. But just briefly, and I must leave it. Watch, but oh, to watch the Lord work. There's those things we have to watch against, but there are those things we have to watch too. Watch the Lord work in that hour. You think of the children of Israel at the Red Sea. How they watched the Lord appear and divide the sea before them. And it was given in that very hour of need. Oh, it was. And therefore they could come into the next chapter in 15 of Exodus and praise his blessed holy name, couldn't they? Well, I've scratched around the surface of this. May we lay to heart the realities there are in it. Whatsoever. And the Lord knows with you and with me what that whatsoever is shall be given you in that hour. And then we need, don't we, what it goes on to say, if it's not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. You need him to so be with you and guide and direct you every step in every hour. Well, I'll leave it for your prayerful meditation. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 812. Hymn 812, tune Grosvenor 154. Whene'er I make some sudden stop, for many such I make, and cannot see the cloud cleared up, nor know which path to take, I to my Saviour speed my way, to tell my dubious state, and then listen what the Lord will say, and hope to follow that. Confirmed by one soft secret word, I seek no further light, but walk depending on my Lord, by faith and not by sight. He is my helper and my guide. I trust in him alone. No other helps have I beside. I venture all on one. Hymn 812, tune Grosvenor 154.
Thank you.
do forgive now anything thy pit eyes have seen amiss. Bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little at a point. And oh, do take us into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship and communion of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore.